All right, meeting will come to order. This is Governmental Operations and Veterans Affairs Committee. Today is March 9th. Thank you, members, for your cooperation today. We got in the room a little bit late because of the previous committee, and then we do need to be out of here by 11:15. So we've got three quick bills today. I just want to point out a couple of quick things in your packets. Just a reminder that next Monday, the 13th, is the follow-up meeting of the Legislative Effectiveness. You should have had a memo in your pack yesterday, so watch for that. And then also we did a print-off of the bills that are scheduled in this committee for next week. Keep in mind that we may need to run late on Thursday with pension bills, and so watch the update, too, on the website as we continue to get re-referrals. There will probably be at least one or two more bills added each day next week. So with that, we're welcoming our new committee legislative assistant, Tara Dernberger. And let's move on to the minutes. So, Representative Leland.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I move approval of the minutes of March 8, 2006.
Thank you, Representative Liebling. Move approval of the minutes of the March 8th meeting. Any discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Barely. And minutes are approved. Thank you. Okay. Next is Representative Blaine's bill. Thank you for joining our committee this morning. Chair will move that House File 3056 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Committee on Environment Finance. And members, we only need to look at one section of this bill, and you have kind of an unusual-looking bill today. And actually two sections. So it's on page 2 is section 4. There's a couple lines there, and I just got a note from Mr. Shepard about section 10 of the bill as well. So let's turn it over to Representative Blaine, and he can go through the rulemaking and the reasons that it's here before the GovOps committee. So, Representative Blaine, thank you. Welcome to the committee, and please present your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good morning, members. As Madam Chair has said, really we're only interested in your committee is probably only interested in seven lines of this bill, which are the first seven lines of Section 4 of the bill. Madam Chair, just to let you know, I probably won't address Section 10 that Mr. Shepard had also outlined as maybe of interest to this bill because it was removed in the Senate yesterday. Okay. That language. So, Madam Chair, members, the first seven lines of this bill in Section 4 is really what we're looking at. It's allowing the DNR to establish fees on for very rare occasions where use of state forest lands for certain types of events. There is the two lines under subdivision 2 in establishing these fees and how they're handled. We have language that we will move under agreement in the Finance Committee when this goes to Representative Osmond's committee. So we're just looking at establishing fees to be able to allow for these rare events that take place in states in state forest land, and looking at the rulemaking process to allow this to happen. And Madam Chair and members, I have Mr. Tomlinson, Mr. Bob Tomlinson from the DNR here to answer any questions to this language.
Mr. Tomlinson, welcome to the committee. If you could just introduce yourself for the record. Mr. Tomlinson.
My name is Bob Tomlinson. I'm with the Department of Natural Resources, Division of Forestry. As Representative Blaine explained, that Section 4 of the bill basically we felt we needed more clear statutory direction relative to collecting fees and depositing those fees and how we spend the monies that are spent in collecting those. That comes from right from our commissioner and discussions with him and other folks I would mention that right now we collect fees in different ways for these types of events that occur on state forest lands throughout the state. The fees may vary. Our attempt will be to try and have a more standardized approach to the fees that we collect for different types of events. And basically all we want to try and do is here is cover our administrative costs of that and assure that there are such things as performance bonds in place that would help to pay for any damage that might be done to road surfaces or trails or otherwise in the state's forest. We don't expect these events to be numerous. There are ones that occasionally occur, but we just need to have a more standardized approach to it. Yet we want to have the rulemaking exemption to allow us to be flexible in different places in the state with these events and collect the fee that's appropriate at that point in time and not be locked into a specific fee for all events that we might otherwise incur if we were to go through the rulemaking process. So therein lies the reason why we want to have the rulemaking exemption in the bill.
Thank you. And just a reminder, members, this has been heard in Environment Policy, and after our committee, we'll go to Environment Finance. With that, Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Assistant Director Tomlinson, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked in Environment, and I think this is the right committee for it to be talked about. Does the Department of Natural Resources have the authority to charge a fee for people that build a permanent deer stand on state forest land?
Mr. Tomlinson.
Madam Chair, Representative McNamara, we do not charge fees. I don't know if we have the authority to do that, and that certainly wasn't the intent of this legislation.
All right.
To do that, but we do not currently do that.
Okay.
Follow up, Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Madam Chair. To expedite, I know we're on a short schedule. I'm going to whip over and talk with Mr. Shepard, but I'm going to draft, because I don't serve on the Environment Finance Committee, I would like to draft an amendment to not allow that, and the Environment Finance Committee can have that discussion when you get there. I do not want the DNR to have the authority to charge for permanent deer stands are allowed on state forest lands now, and they say they don't do it and they don't ever intend to do it, but I'm nervous that they have the ability, and I don't think that'd be right.
Okay, so we'll come back to you with that oral amendment in a few minutes. We have a couple other members with questions. Next up is Representative Kahn.
Madam Chair, from what you said, I think we should take out Section 10 of the bill. It wasn't taken out in committee, was it? It was taken out in the Senate.
And we certainly can do that, Madam Chair. We can delete Section 10 at this time if... I think that's a good point, Representative Kahn. I appreciate that.
Representative Kahn moves the oral amendment to delete Section 10 of the bill. Any discussion? Representative Kahn.
Just not. I mean, if we're not going to discuss it because the Senate's taking it out, then we are taking it.
Yep.
Although I'm going to discuss
to this point, Representative Dempsey on the oral amendment.
Yes.
Representative Dempsey, if you can pull your mic down, please.
I guess my point would be, Madam Chair, if this is something, and I'm not that familiar with the piece of legislation, but we're talking about eliminating a part of the amendment that's being done, I guess my question would be is how many other things should we eliminate? Why do we just start with Section 10? Why can't we go 1 through 9? What I don't understand is obviously what we've been doing is the state in its ultimate wisdom puts restrictions on this particular on the DNR and land policies, okay? Well, why don't we eliminate and allow you to just do whatever you need to do rather than the state telling you, well, you can't do this thing, you can't do Subdivision 2 or Subdivision 6, and we don't want you to do a fee, but we'll put something else on. Why don't we just give you the opportunity to run the organization? Why do we need all this verbiage?
Mr. Tomlinson.
Madam Chair, Representative Dempsey, thank you for the confidence in the department relative to doing that. And we want flexibility and to be adaptive and be able to deal with situations that arise as they come along, which is, I think, the point that you're trying to make with this, and I appreciate that. We went through a third-party certification audit of the state forest management process. And Section 10 was a result of that. They felt that, the auditors felt that, we needed to have more processes in place that were standardized and in statute, whatnot, that allowed for better business practices, if you will, on how we issue special product permits for folks that are going out there removing birch bark and other things like that. And that's basically the reason why Section 10 was added to the bill as we were developing it. It was as a result of the recommendations that came out of this third-party audit. We can still go back and look at alternative ways to do that short of legislation. That's what we intend to do. And if we do need legislation, we'll come back with it next session, which is what we told the folks over in the Senate yesterday, with a better thought-out approach to it, one that everybody is agreeable to before we get to the committees like we're at right now here. So.
Follow-up from Sen. Dempsey.
Thanks, Madam Chair. In our body here, we've got the oops mentality. You know, we're not so sure something... We mandate something in regard to, in this case, regulation, and we goof it up. I don't understand why the department, DNR, doesn't come up with a whole list of these things that allow the people to make the decisions in a business-like manner and all the rest of that for the best interest of the state. I'm not that familiar with this, but here we're talking about one little aspect in a huge piece of legislation, and we don't have any confidence in the people that are employed as employees of the state. Gracious me. I won't be against the bill, but by the same token, I think we should take a good look at where we could even do better.
Mr. Thomason.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, one of the cornerstones of this administration and the Department of Natural Resources has been fiscal integrity. And our commissioner has insisted upon the fact that if we're going to collect fees, we need to have statutory appropriation, language or whatever, that allows us to collect the fees, and not only in how we collect fees, but also in how we spend those fees.
Yeah.
And frankly, myself, who's been a long-term employee of the Department of Natural Resources, we think that's good and it's appropriate, and we're just trying to shore up, if you will, language in different places over the past few years and probably for the next few years, which allows us to do things according to the statutes and the way that they were intended to be. And we want to make sure that if we're going to collect fees, we have the authorities to do that. We do want to have the flexibility back to Section 4 to have to be able to do it without the rulemaking and have to go through that process if we can do that and be flexible and adaptive as things come along, which is, I think, what you're speaking to, to allow us that flexibility and opportunity to do it. So this would still allow us to collect those fees, deposit the monies, and to spend the money back for what the intended purposes are, which is really all in line with the fiscal integrity process that we're trying to approach here.
Okay, members, we have Representative Kahn's oral amendment before us. That's to delete Section 10 of the bill. It goes from lines 6.3 through 7.3. And any other discussion on Representative Kahn's oral amendment? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails and amendment is adopted. Okay, next up on the list was Representative Haas.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If we're not establishing a set fee, we're establishing your right to provide a fee at some type of criteria. Is that criteria in policy? Is that criteria in law?
Madam Chair, members, that would be a criteria that would be in policy within the Department of Natural Resources that we would
establish. Madam Chair, follow-up question. Does that criteria relate to the actual costs of the project going on or the program that's going on, and if it's not actual cost, how far can you exceed actual cost, and then where do you put the money from the actual cost, and can you put the money from the excess of the actual cost in a different spot?
Mr. Thomason.
Madam Chair, members, the dollars that we would collect, as I mentioned earlier, would be meant to cover the administrative cost of the event, whatever it might be. So it might include a nominal fee for actually issuing the permit, and if we have to have some sort of folks out there on the ground during the event, we might look at that and reflect that cost in as well. Or afterwards, relative to any mitigation that might need to occur. All of those sorts of things will be considered as we're establishing a fee schedule, which is what we're basically in the process of doing right now.
Thank you. Those are fine answers.
Okay, we have several other members with questions. Next up is Representative Kahn.
Well, Madam Chairman, I think that this is my seatmate next to me asked the 16A1283. Is that the thing that Representative Krinke put into the statute about only the legislature being able to set fees?
Representative Connor, are you looking at line 2.32?
Yes.
Okay.
Notwithstanding. There's notwithstanding.
Mr. Shepherd.
Yes.
You need to say it in the mic.
Madam Chair and members, this is the law that requires the legislature to approve new fees.
You know, well, Madam Chairman, you know, again, this isn't something that I'm sure I approve of. I don't remember if this was something that I supported. I'm told that I did support Representative Krinke when he was doing it. But the point is, to remove it for one thing just seems really inappropriate. And particularly when we're giving these specific things, why don't they just come in and tell us what fee, give us with a list of what the fees that they want to charge for all these things. We can look at them, or environmental finance can look at them, environmental finance can look at them and see if they're reasonable and do it. But they're not subject to rulemaking provision either. You know, I have strong problems with taking it out of rulemaking provision, particularly because this is a non-controversial. Is one of these marked the non-controversial rulemaking provision? Or
Mr. Shepherd?
Madam Chair and members, the bill that references section 14.386 is a provision that says when something's exempt from rulemaking, the policy would still have to be approved by the reviser and the Office of Administrative Hearings. So this would be exempt from that as well.
Yeah, I mean, if we want this kind of blanket, evasion of these statutes, which were much more thought out, I think, by this committee than this bill has been, then I think we ought to take it. We ought to just repeal 16A.28.1283. But I don't see, when we're given such specific things, why we can't have them just come in with what fees they want to pass and have us just pass them. And certainly, why we don't want to take. I don't think we want to take away the rulemaking provision and the alternative rulemaking provision.
Representative Blaine.
Madam Chair, I'm also joined at the table here by Mr. Bob Meyer from the department, and I think he's got maybe a clearer explanation of this.
Mr. Meyer, welcome to the committee, and please introduce yourself for the record.
Madam Chair, members, for the record, my name is Bob Meyer, Director of Legislative Affairs for the Department of Natural Resources. The language in Section 4 that's before you with the rulemaking exemption specifically is similar language that we have throughout the DNR statutes relating to how we establish fees, exempting them from the notification and going through the rulemaking process in Chapter 14. These fees still are bound by the departmental earnings statutes that are there in 16A.1285, where we cannot overcharge or undercharge. And what we're trying to do is just save a little money by not having to go through the Chapter 14 process in establishing these fees. In most cases, the fees are published in the state register, and people are notified as what those fees are. So that was clearly the intent. We aren't trying to get away from any kind of legislative oversight or anything. It's more or less streamlining the way that we establish these fees and trying to reduce our costs and administrative burden in establishing these fees, similar to what we have in other fees and statutes.
Rep. Sinkhan.
Madam Chairman, my inclination is actually to, and the other thing I absolutely disapprove of is the annual appropriation to the commissioner. We've gotten rid of that everywhere we possibly can. This is very bad state budget process. My inclination of what to do, and I'll just put it out without making the formal motion, is actually to delete Section 4, suggest that you come back to the Environmental Finance Committee with something that's, you know, if you don't want to go through a total rulemaking process, something that's more reasonable, like, from what you said, I can start thinking about something, listing proposed fees in the state register, having it open for a certain amount of comment period, certainly not doing, I don't mind them going into a special revenue, you know, I've been made to be less irritated by that, but I strongly object to the annual appropriation. I mean, I really think we meet annually, and we can just appropriate the amount that you get from those fees.
Mr. Meyer.
Madam Chair, Representative Kahn, this section is going to be changed. It was discussed in the Environmental Policy Committee, and we did agree to come back in the Finance Committee and change that language, tying it directly to the fees that are there. Something that we've discussed with the chair about doing in this committee, but rather than do that in the Government Operations Committee, it should be done in the Environment Finance Committee.
Yeah. Follow up, Representative Carr. Yes.
Madam Chair, this again points out to me where I think you ought to take a very strong position that bills come last to Government Operations, because otherwise we're dealing with a moving target that has to come back. So to facilitate along, I'm going to move to take out Section 4.
Rep. Sinkhan makes an oral amendment to delete Section 4, which is lines 2.31 through lines 3.6. Any discussion on that motion? All in favor of the Kahn oral motion to delete Section 4, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Aye.
Motion prevails and amendment is adopted. Okay, we have a long list of members with questions, and we have two other bills in the next 25 minutes. Next up is Representative Hoppe.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I have reconsidered, and I will pass at this time.
Thank you, Representative Hoppe. Representative Seifert.
Madam Chair, I was just going to say, if we start exempting from the legislative oversight on fees, unless the DNR is going door-to-door this fall, I know who's going to hear about it when the fees go up, and it's not going to be the DNR. It's going to be me. And every time we give an exemption from that statute on the legislature raising fees, and that's one reason this committee needs to be strict about this when people like us aren't around anymore, is that when we give blanket approval for agencies to raise fees without legislative approval, we are the ones who are going to get blamed. Don't think the DNR is going door to door in your district in October and that they're going to take the blame for this. It's going to be us. And I've already heard about four or five changes from the last session on fees. And I'm not going to hear about forestry because I don't have many forests in my district. But, I get very concerned about us going down the path of just letting agencies set fees. You know, if there is something that's reasonable, like the deer stands or whatever it is, come in and let us at least approve it or disapprove it. So that's just my thought, but now that we've deleted it, we've got to, I think there's at least two or three members on Environment Finance that they kind of try to be more strict about this and oversight. So I'm glad we forced the discussion by removing it, so the new language is going to have to get considered somehow.
Next up is Representative McMurray.
Ma'am, my question got to take care of.
Thank you. Any other questions? Representative Loeffler.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I think that this is a bigger issue for us as a committee in that I think the purpose of government operations is to make sure that all the state agencies are treated the same and that we have consistent state policies on the big issues of how we run state government, and I think we ought to assert that when we can and not have each finance division then start rethinking it and creating new traditions. This one really worries me because I think we've all had tough budgets over the last 4 years in all kinds of state agencies, and DNR certainly has suffered from lack of investment in a lot of different ways, and I don't think we want to create an incentive at all for us to start being, you know, Parks Incorporated, in which we're trying to get as many special events in as we can just to keep the doors open, and they we really change the use of these lands. And I think it's more than just a fee issue. It's also about what is the purpose of our state forest, and how should they be used. So I hope that if this issue re-arises, that the broader discussion of, you know, how many special events can one entity hold, and some of those sorts of things that are addressed as well.
Rep. Simblin.
Madam Chair and Representative Loeffler, the number of events listed that in the language that was stricken in Section 4 is probably not reflective really on how many events that the DNR has actually had take place in the state forest land, which is that language was actually referring to, even though I probably don't really need to talk about language that was just stricken out of the bill. I'll just say that those are very rare occurrences, and I think the reason the DNR was looking at the language that was stricken was the fact that this does not happen very often when we have a horseback riding event in a state forest or an enduro race or something like that. And the language that was taken was really looked at as being an efficient way to administer these types of events without having to come back to a state government to specify a fee. Now that language has been taken out with Representative Kahn's amendment, this will force the department to go back and readdress this issue with probably more specific language and specific fees that we will look at on our next stop on this journey in Representative Osmond's Finance Committee.
Mr. Meyer, closing comment.
Madam Chair, members, well, thank you for your time. These fees that we're discussing here are not new fees. We're charging these fees. All we're trying to do with this language was to clarify exactly what those fees would be charged for and where the revenues would go. So I apologize for any confusion we may have presented to the committee, and we will work with anyone who wishes us to move this forward.
Representative Kahn.
Well, Madam Chairman, besides missing Representative Plinky on this committee, I also miss Representative Erickson, who I see is standing in waiting. But I'd just like to ask on 7.7, why did you move away from parallel grammatic construction in that paragraph? In other words, why did you change an and to an or, and why did you leave an and in 7.10?
Mr. Meyer.
Madam Chair, members, in preparing all of this language, I have in-depth meetings with Commissioner Marion, and this is grammatical sentence structure that he preferred versus other sentence structures. So any way you'd like to see it is your preference.
Representative Kahn.
The thought of a fight with Senator Marion is too tempting to Well, I don't know. So,
You already
won twice. Trying another. I'll give Mr. Myers his choice. You either want to leave the end in 7.7 or make the end in 7.10 an or. Which of those would you prefer? I'll make one of those to do.
Mr. Meyer.
And we'll be sure to tell the commissioner it was your
choice. You know what she's saying.
Representative Kahn, can you repeat that oral amendment? It's dealing with
well,
the
I want to add to the assistant commissioner. No preference.
Well, Madam Chair, if I may.
Representative Blaine.
To please the committee and to please my good friend, Representative Kahn, it makes absolutely no difference. I'll tell you what. I'll make if someone would like to move an oral amendment to change the and to an or on line 7.10.
I can go back the other way. I want to change the or to an and. I want to leave out the change on 7.7.
Okay, and line 7.10. If you want to change that back from an or to an and,
back to the original line.
Okay.
Have at it.
Commissioner can come and see me and ask me and explain why it shouldn't be done.
Okay. Representative Kahn moves oral amendment to line 7.7 Say that again. Omits a change, so it would say and, and the or would be gone. Everybody understand the amendment? All in favor of the con or amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. Okay, is there anybody from the audience that would like to testify for or against this bill? Seeing none, Chair renews the motion that House File 3056, as amended, be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Environment Finance Committee. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails, and bill goes to Environment Finance. And Representative Blaine, next time you say you have a two-minute bill, I might reconsider.
Madam Chair, you'll never hear me say I got a two-minute bill again. Not in this committee.
Okay, we have about 20 minutes left. We have two bills. I understand that there are people who have driven to speak on behalf of both bills. I apologize for running late. We do need to be out of here at 11:20 for the State of the State address. And there is an amendment that's come around on this bill. Chair will move that House File 2872 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to State Government Finance. And I understand that the A1 amendment is to put the bill in the shape that the author would like. Chair will move the A1 amendment. Any discussion on the A1 amendment? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Amendment is adopted. The House File 2872 bill, as amended, is before us. Representative Erickson, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Chair Tinglestad, and thank you, committee, for hearing this House File 2872. It's some good changes for the state auditor to perform her responsibilities in a more professional manner. I got involved in this because after I read this report, which I hope all of you have read, Minnesota Special District Finances, that a recommendation coming from the state auditor had to do with special districts and the fact that there are a lot of differences in practices among these special districts. One is accounting practices, another is financial statements. And so it would make sense to have consistency here. So that's my involvement in the bill. That's Section 19. But at this time, I think it would be wise to turn our attention to the State Auditor's Office and to Tony Sutton, who is here to explain the bill.
Mr. Sutton, welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Tony Sutton. I'm Deputy State Auditor. House File 2872's basic purpose is to clarify the meaning of what a special district or what a political subdivision is for the purposes of making consistent the auditing and reporting requirements for special purpose districts across Minnesota. This bill does not expand the audit authority of the State Auditor's Office. Chapter 6 and 16C.05 already give the State Auditor broad authority to audit or request financial information from local governments across Minnesota. What this bill does, though, as Representative Erickson said, is it will make consistent the auditing and reporting requirements for special districts. Special districts are things like watersheds, soil and water conservation districts, railroad authorities. There's just to name a few of the types of special districts across Minnesota. Special districts spend in totality about $630 million annually, which is about twice what townships spend. And so we think that they should have the same consistent standards that cities, counties, and school districts have for auditing and reporting requirements. And how we would make it consistent is we would state that there would have to be a deadline of 180 days for reporting the audit back to the governing board. Right now, the deadlines are inconsistent. And in fact, in the case of watershed districts, while they have an audit requirement, there is no deadline for doing the audit. The second way of making it consistent would be to have a similar standard that we have for cities in Minnesota, where cities that have revenues under $150,000 have an audit once every 5 years, and cities that have revenues over $150,000 have annual audits. We think that special districts, many of whom spend hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars, should have at least the same standard that we have right now in statute for cities. And so those are the two basic ways in which we would be making this this consistent for special districts and bringing it up to the same level for cities, counties, and so forth.
Thank you. Rep. Senkon.
You know, Madam Chairman, I actually think this is a pretty good bill and that we ought to do it, but I think it needs a little bit more scrutiny than this committee, and I understand it was going to go to State Government Finance. I really think, is there any reason why this shouldn't be looked at by local government? I mean, I just don't know what all of these are. I don't know if we've
listed all of them, and I don't know if any of them are going to have, with all of these sections, I don't know if any of them are going to have any objections to this. And yeah, so I, you know, unless someone tells me not to, I want to send it without recommendation to local gov.
Representative Connor, I understand this is clarifying language. Let's hear from the author.
Oh, there he is.
Oh. Representative Erickson, would you like to comment on that?
Well, Madam Chair and Committee, I think it's up to Representative Olson, who chairs local government, to request this bill if he thinks needed. But I know that he knows it's on the calendar, and I would hope that he has made a decision, but I guess we'll wait to hear from him.
Okay. Other questions from members while he looks at that, and we'll get back to Representative Kahn's point. Okay.
No, remember,
Representative Kahn.
Chairman, the only committees that have the right to request the right to order a bill are government operations, the finance committees, and taxes. None of the subject committees have the right to order a bill. So, you know, if we think a bill ought to go there, it's our job to send it. But I'd certainly defer to Representative Olson if he's not interested in this reclassification.
Well, Madam Chair and
Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Kahn, I've had bills referred to committees because the committee chair has asked to see it, and it's not a finance committee. Yeah. So I think there are exceptions to the rule.
Yeah. Representative Olson, are you ready to comment, or should we come back to you? Chair Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I haven't had a chance to look at it in the level of detail I'd like to really evaluate the policy. We can send it there for now, and if I decide after looking at it more thoroughly that we really don't need to see it, we'll just move it on.
Thank you. So, Representative Kahn, could you state your motion again?
That House Bill 2872 be recommended, be referred to the local, without any recommendation, be re-referred
without
to the local government committee.
Okay, thank you. We'll update that. And next up for questions, Representative Kahn.
Representative Erickson, just one quick question. Of the special district, what does that include, just for clarification?
Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Chair Tinkleston and Representative. I think you heard just previously what some of the special districts are, but they include watershed districts. That's one special district. Sewer districts. And Mr. Sutton, I think, delineated some of them, not all of them, but if you want more, we can tell you more.
Representative Hosh.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think this is a great bill that is long overdue, needed. We have to realize that we have unelected bodies out there that have taxing authority. Without the accountability of their constituencies like we have, and at the very least, they should have the requirement of being audited on how they're expending their finances and expending public dollars. So I want to thank you for bringing this up because it is needed.
Representative Tinkleton.
Representative.
And Representative, I'm glad that I got to it before you because I knew you'd like this bill. Because we've had some discussions, I know, about watershed districts. And so thank you for affirming that.
Any other questions from members? I know there's somebody from the audience. First up, Representative Olson. Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As I look at the bill, it does look very technical in nature, but I will look at it more thoroughly. And
thank you.
And but still ask that you move it to local government.
Next up, Representative McMurr.
Madam Chair, I just want to clarify. I think we should be moving this bill with recommendation. I want to clarify what Representative Kahn said. Are we moving it without recommendation?
That's what my motion was, because I don't, because I really think we need, and as I said, I think I actually probably agree with this bill, but the point is I just want to have the local government clarification about are there any, you're making a big name change here, and you're including a whole bunch of things that haven't been included and stuff, and I'm just not sure if that has implications other than ones that I don't understand.
No, Madam Chair, I'd like to amend Representative Kahn's amendment to move it with recommendation for some of the same reasons that Representative Hosh has already mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Shepherd, this is the first time that this has come up in this committee. So,
Madam Chair,
is this the final motion out of committee?
Yeah,
we're amending the original motion that I brought up.
Yes.
Now it's been changed.
Madam Chair, I believe that one way that you could approach this is that Representative McNamara would, in effect, be amending Representative Kahn's motion. So you could vote on that motion, and then if that were adopted, the primary motion would still stand, and you could vote on that later.
Thank you. So we'll vote on that, Representative McNamara's motion to amend Representative Kahn's motion. So Representative McNamara's motion would be that it would be recommended to pass to local government, so it would be with recommendation.
That's correct, Madam Chair.
Okay. To Representative McNamara's motion. To this point, Vice Chair Severson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And just to speak along the same lines, there will be a watershed bill that will be coming forward that we're sponsoring, indirect address to some of the issues that Representative Erickson's bill is speaking to here. So I would say that a recommendation of approval is probably appropriate, that we can get this whole process, get our arms around it, and really go after what needs to be done in this particular process.
Okay, and so I believe we're going to vote on his motion at the end when we're ready to send it out, right? Or do we vote right now?
Madam Chair, that would be up to you. You could take the motion whenever anybody's ready,
okay.
But I believe it would be in order if you wanted to accept Representative McNamara's
okay.
motion now, so that would be for the committee.
To this point, Representative Kahn.
Madam Chair, to clarify things and maybe to point out to committee members that the difference between those two things is purely academic and has no bearing on what happens to a bill further on. I'll just accept Representative McNamara's amendment.
Okay,
so
thank you. So we'll vote on it as we're sending it out here. Was there anybody else on the committee that had questions? Okay, Representative Erickson.
I don't have a question, Representative Tinglestad in committee. But if you would check this report, all the special districts are listed on pages 18 through 21. So if you want to see what the special districts are, starts with the Metropolitan Airports Commission on page 18 and ends with watershed districts on pages 20 and 21. They're all listed there. Of the report.
Oh,
excuse me. The state of Minnesota's special district finance report from the state auditor.
Okay.
Which we received over the summer, I believe.
I know there are people in the audience that would like to testify for or against this bill. If they could come forward at this time, please. And maybe they've changed their mind. Okay. Let's take action on this bill. So the motion before us is Representative McNamara's motion that that House File 2872, as amended, be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the local government committee. Does everybody understand that? All in favor of that motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails, and the bill's going to local government. Thank you very much. Okay, next up, we have one more bill today in the next 10 minutes or so. And this is Representative Gazelka's bill. And members, I understand that we really only need to look at sections 1 and 6 of this bill. Chair will move that House File 3133 be recommended to pass and be re-referred to the Commerce Committee. Representative Gazelka, welcome to the committee, and please present your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And if it's possible, I'd like to have one oral amendment considered. On page 2, line 2.20, the number 11, the fourth word in the number 11, we'd like to delete that and replace that with the word eligible.
Okay, Chair will move that on page 2, line 20, strike the digits 11 and insert the word eligible. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Does everybody understand that motion? All in favor of the Chair's oral amendment on page 2, line 20, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevail. Amendment is adopted. Okay. We have the bill before us as amended. Representative Gazelka.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, this House File 3133 is a deed, technical, and housekeeping bill. It basically deals with three issues: unclassified portions that explore Minnesota tourism and the Public Facilities Authority, Number two, the Small Business Innovation Research Program. And number three, the Minnesota Job Skills Partnership Program. I have with me Deed Director Chuck Hamilton. He's going to give us more detail.
Mr. Hamilton, welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Chuck Hamilton, and I am a director with the Department of Employment and Economic Development. As the chair has indicated, House File 3133 is before the committee, specifically for Sections 1 and 6. Both of these, I would preface my comments by saying, are items that go back to issues related to merger of DES with DTED, etc., and these activities could have been taken before, but when you do something as massive as that, you don't always get some of those issues done. As you all know, Explore Minnesota Tourism was spun off as a standalone agency through 2004 legislation. I would also say that Deed is bringing this forward because through an interagency agreement with tourism, we are handling some of their legislative activities. Tourism had this authority under DTED prior to any reorganization, and with their being spun off, they no longer have the authority for three of their unclassified positions. Their director is in the unclassified service by separate statute, and it was just missed that there were three positions also that need to be taken care of. Two of those three unclassified positions are currently vacant, and the Explore Minnesota director does need to move and rehire, and from an HR perspective, we want to be sure that we have taken care of the legislation appropriately to allow that to happen. The positions in questions do meet requirements 1 through 7, which are on page 2 of the bill. They start at the bottom of page 1 and continue on to the top of page 2 as it relates to reportability, discretion, policy development, implementation, etc. Again, they have been in the past unclassified. This change would allow that to continue.
Questions from members? Representative Khan.
Madam Chairman, is this making government bigger or smaller?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton.
Madam Chair, Representative Khan, it keeps government the same size.
I don't understand.
Representative Khan.
Madam Chairman, you have two people that you haven't hired, and if we pass this, you get to hire two. It sounds to me like it's making government bigger.
Mr. Hamilton.
Madam Chair, Representative Khan, I did indicate that there are two vacancies that were filled before, and the Explore Minnesota Tourism Director feels the need to fill those two positions.
Making government bigger.
Representative Hoppe.
Pass, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Loeffler.
Madam Chair and Representative Gazelka, I just, in general, and I know I expressed this to the committee last year, I really have a problem with how many unclassified positions we have allowed to keep growing within our service ranks. And I think it's really been a disincentive to our career employees who are real experts in their area of expertise, that the top positions where you actually get to have a chance in guiding what the state's doing in important areas now become political plums. You bring in people who may not have the appropriate experience or professional credentials, and the people under them just end up kind of trying to close the system together to try and make it work. I started my current state government when assistant commissioners were classified positions. So we've gone a long way from where we used to be, where all of the state agency people, except for the commissioner, were seen as like our nonpartisan staff. Respected professionals, well-regarded nationally because of their long length of service and their depths of expertise in that area. And I'm going to vote against this simply because I philosophically believe that we ought to go back to a position in which we have people who are nationally regarded, who have devoted their entire career to expertise. Sometimes we've been able to recruit them into unclassified positions, but I have to say I think it's hard to recruit the top talent when you know that your term is till the end of the governor, which now this year is a pretty short period of time, and we're not going to be able to get the kind of creative expertise and talent that we need. And I think our economy is dependent on tourism, and we ought to put the best and the brightest there, and I think recruiting someone into a position that might end in December, this is going to help. So that's my philosophy, and no matter what agents we're having before us, but I think particularly in this one where our economy is so dependent on this particular industry, I'd like us to continue to start the trend the other way and keeping more positions in the classified service.
Mr. Hamilton.
Madam Chair, Representative Loeffler, just so the committee is fully aware, We are doing a national search on these two positions. The people that did leave did retire. I would let you know that we value long-term service. For example, the remaining person who is not the director that's in the unclassified service has been there for 18 years. So I think the administration does value high-quality professional people, as well as balancing the issues related to issues within 43.08. But we respect your position.
Okay, we have two members with questions. First up, Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For many of the same reasons Representative Loeffler gave, I will be voting for this bill. Coming from a family whose father spent decades as a classified employee and ended up as an unclassified assistant commissioner of one of the departments, absolutely this is the right direction to go. I lived it for 30 years. Thank you.
Representative Kahn.
Yes. Well, Madam Chairman, I was interested in the last comments of the witness in that we're doing a national search on it. On this, we want to hire someone who doesn't have to come through the classified process from outside of Minnesota to explore Minnesota tourism. Is someone like Michael Brown eligible for this? He's unemployed and looking for a job.
Mr. Hamilton.
Question.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Representative Kahn, I certainly am not going to take on the last piece there, but we do want the best and the brightest. I'm hopeful that if I'm from Minnesota, also that this person ends up being somebody from Minnesota. However, we all know, I'm sure some people are in this room are from other places also, and if we have someone who can do that job that benefits Minnesota the most, we certainly want to consider that.
Anybody from the audience who would like to testify for or against this bill? Okay. I think we're ready to vote. Representative Gazelko, would you just like a final word here before we vote, please?
No, I just appreciate being before your committee for the first time.
Baptism by fire. Okay, Chair renews the motion that House File 3133, as amended, be recommended to pass and go to the Committee on Commerce. All in favor of that motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails, and the bill is going to Commerce. Members, look at the list for bills that we'll have up next week. We'll be adding some on the website. We have to go over to the House chambers by 11:30, and with that, meeting is adjourned. Thank you.